Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate for Iowa's 2nd Congressional District was in Pella recently. What's her stand on the issues? How can we best build our economy and create good jobs? Let's go in depth with Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks from Ottumwa. Well, Dr. Miller-Meeks, welcome back to Pella.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leonard. How are you today?
I'm great. And you know what's... Why I'm particularly great is I don't have to do what you say you're going to do, which is walk around the square and talk to people.
Oh, well, since we added in a radio interview, I might not have time to walk around the square, but I'll be back again.
All right. Well, it's a pretty cold day. There's not going to be a lot of people to meet out there, probably.
I think you might be right on that. It's a little bit colder than they predicted.
Well, and you've been talking with people from Pella for a while now. This isn't your first visit to Pella.
No, I will have to admit to going to the bakeries and meat markets a couple of times. So if push comes to shove, yes, I've been here a bit.
All right. What role does Marion County play in your bid for election?
Well, Marion County is a new county in the district. When the district was expanded, going from 5 to 4 representatives. So it's a new area for me. So a lot of people to meet, businesses to address, find out what issues are important to them, if they're what I think is important. And then also just meeting with people in general. What I've found is that people have a sense of loss. Some apathy and a tremendous amount of concern about where our country is going.
What about the direction do people want to change?
They think the country's going in the wrong direction. They're very concerned about health care. They see what's happening to individuals, some of which whom they know, with their health care premiums going up, some who have lost their policies, but then also what they see reflected nationally. They're very concerned with the overall economy. With job creation, being able to, have increased wages. And our state has done very well. We have a governor who manages our state very well, has turned a budget deficit into a budget surplus, putting money aside for, those times that are much more lean, and we may need to have those savings. And when you look at the management of our state, you say, well, you know, we export John Deere tractors, we export hay balers and soy and corn. So couldn't we export, the policy and the management of a state like Iowa to D.C.? And wouldn't the country function better if we did that?
Well, that sounds really good. But, I mean, it's a tougher game in D.C., isn't it? It's not working with your neighbors. It's working with people from across the country who have a very different perspective than you do.
I think anytime you have people that come from different backgrounds, and you actually learn that in the military. So I traveled abroad. You meet with people from all walks of life, whether they're in nonprofits, they're in for a profit entity or a private entity, wherever they come from, being willing to engage people, being respectful, treating people with dignity, regardless of where they're from, what their place is, in the whole scheme of life. I think just engaging people in general helps you to be able to move some policy issues. D.C. is dysfunctional. It's a mess. And so maybe you need somebody who's had some experience at a state level, helping to put policies forward when there's divided government, as a doctor working with patients from all different walks of life, as a nurse, a veteran. That's experience that very few people have and can be brought to D.C. and can help fix the mess we're in now.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks, a Republican candidate for Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. Well, from here, it looks like it's not only a country divided, but it looks like a Republican Party divided, too. Is that how you see it?
I think that in all both parties, both the Democrat Party and Republican Party, there are divisions within parties. It's up to candidates. And when you don't have a presidential candidate, that means it's up to the rest of the candidates that are on the ballot to help bring the parties together and bring them along. And I think the Republican Party, like Democrats, are concerned with the direction of our country. We see what's happening now in the Middle East. We see what's happening in Ukraine, in Venezuela. But more than that, look at our general economy. What's happening nationwide? Our stock market's booming, but does that mean the average person on the street's doing well? Prices are going up. Gasoline is up. Food is up. Milk is up. But yet our government is telling us that inflation is low because they exclude food and gasoline. So we're feeling the squeeze as people, but it's almost as if in Washington, D.C., they're in a bubble, that they're in their bubble, in their cocoon, and they're not down to earth here with the rest of us. So I'm not sure that they have really a realization or acknowledgement of what it is that we have to go through every single day, what we have to deal with, just to be able to support our families, to be able to help our community, to be able to volunteer our time and raise our children.
Well, what about you makes you different in the sense that you know more about regular life than, say, Congressman Loebsack?
I live here in the state. I work here in the state. Even when I was at the Department of Public Health, I lived in Ottumwa, commuted back and forth every day. I'm with people, talking to people, and more importantly than talking to people, listening to people. And I think when people meet me, they have a sense that I care, because I do care.
Well, it's sort of interesting in the sense that you do come from, you did spend all of that time in Ottumwa, because people that know Ottumwa, know Marion County, know rural Iowa, it's even a very different place than Des Moines. And people in Des Moines don't necessarily get that, but you do.
I think your circumstances, your environment, you know, being cultured is knowing your surroundings. And knowing rural Iowa, what people are going through, you know, people want to work. They want the dignity of a job. They want the self-esteem that comes from doing something right, even if it's a small thing. We can help provide that for people. And I think it's so very important that we want to try to have everyone reach their potential and to do that through good policy that helps them to be the best person they can be. Knowing the circumstances they come from, rural Iowa versus Des Moines versus Washington, D.C., it's a bubble. The one place that didn't get affected by the recession was Washington, D.C. That's not true for us in Ottumwa. It's not true for us in these 24 counties within our state. But we've had a governor put together good policies, work across the aisle, bring together teams, respect people, and really do things that our state has not done for years. Property tax reform is one of those things. I think we can export that common sense willingness to work together to D.C. I think it can be done. That's my goal, and that's what I'm going to do when I get to Washington.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Marionette Miller Meeks, a Republican candidate for Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. Now, I sort of see a fundamental contradiction. I don't know the solution to this. I hope you do. But wages are low, yet there's too many, especially at places like the big box stores, wages are low. There's a push to raise the minimum wage, but there's also a push to get more and more people off of any kind of government support. It seems that there's sort of a contradiction if the companies won't pay a living wage, more and more people. I mean, how many people work at some of the big box stores that get food stamps, that are on the SNAP program? How do you have it both ways? How do you get people off of SNAP without having the wages raise?
Well, you certainly can't do things drastically. In our programs currently, when you reach a certain income level, then every support mechanism that's available is cut off. So we need to look at those programs and how do we transition someone out of those programs if they have work? What do we do with job skills and education? Can we help a person to get a better job beyond just a minimum wage job, which is an entry-level job? My first job was picking cucumbers at age 13 in southeast Texas. I rapidly learned that I did not want to pick cucumbers for a living. Next job was working at a fast food restaurant. But I was working at a fast food restaurant at 16 and putting myself through junior college. Not everybody has that drive or that ambition. I had a mission to be a doctor. Not everybody has that mission, but yet they do valuable work and helping to grow an economy, bringing manufacturing back, trade that helps support the businesses here in Iowa. All of those things are important. Pro-growth tax policy, what about skills training or jobs training for people so that they can try to aspire for a better job? Not everybody needs to go to college, and not everybody can get the educational background that they need to go to college. There's different skills and different talents, and all of those should be respected and supported. Doesn't necessarily mean we support them the way that we do now or not support them at all, but you have to gradually transition those programs so that people can work, can get jobs, whether it's part-time, going to school, or skills training.
Well, but you can't train everybody to do some of the kinds of jobs. Let me just give you an example that are available today. At one time, Kodak employed over 400,000 people. Now Kodak is dead. Instagram serves 150 million people. About 150 million people use it at least once a month. It just sold for what, $19 billion? There are 55 employees. 55 employees for Instagram, 400,000 employees for Kodak. The whole economy is changing in that way where there just aren't the jobs anymore. Are you seeing something I don't?
No, I think that there are changes in what type of jobs are going to be available for the future. But who knows that best? Does the government know what jobs are going to be available for the future? Or is it that innovative person that wants to create the next new thing, whether it's the iPhone, whether it's Instagram, a software type of program? And you're correct, technology jobs, for the most part, do not support a broad base of the population. It's only small segments of the population that would have those kinds of jobs. But it doesn't mean there's other types of manufacturing jobs that could be created. We've got a shale oil boom happening now. Is our country, are they looking into that? Do we have policies that reflect the ability to hire more people, to open more oil fields, to open more fields to natural gas? Or are we saying, no, we don't want to go there? These are jobs that could be helpful for individuals that don't go to college and are manufacturing jobs, which would support a broader base and also support construction. There are companies that are coming back from overseas. What about the amount of money that's overseas in companies because of their tax rate? If that revenue could be brought into our country, back to our country at very little tax, and redeployed into that company to grow that company and hire more people, wouldn't it be worthwhile to say we're going to offset any tax revenue that we're not even receiving by saying we're going to drop that lower tax, we're going to drop that tax rate so that money's brought back in and redeployed into the economy of the United States.
But do you think there are going to be enough jobs in this new kind of economy that you describe compared to some of the old jobs? I mean, robotics and things that were a person used to have to screw on a bolt, a good manufacturing job where people would actually build things, those are gone. Robots do that now. Even, in the hospitals, robots do that now. And everybody's trying to push for this lean effort. They want to minimize labor. They want to maximize production, maximize profits. Are those jobs going to be there?
I think they're going to be different kind of jobs. And, economies go through those cycles. Markets go through those cycles. So, for instance, if we're trying to think of the government as saving and protecting every job in every industry, I think we'd still have buggy whips. But we know we don't have buggy whips and we don't have carriages in the same manner that we did in a pre-industrial type of economy. But yes, there are going to be new innovations, new creativity. If we have policies that allow innovation and allow growth, they will occur. I may not be the one that's smart enough or creative enough to invent the next computer or the next iPhone or the next device, but I know that there are people that are out there that are willing to do it. But we have to have the freedom and flexibility from our government that doesn't put barriers up to people creating those type of jobs. And also think about things that have gone overseas, that there is insourcing back into this country. So with the price of fuel being higher, it's harder to transport. So things are coming back into the United States. We want to make sure that we have policies in place that allow that to happen and in fact, encourage it.
But what do we do about the companies that are overseas? The iPhone is the perfect example. They build them overseas because they can pay people a nickel an hour or whatever they pay people, something very low that's a substandard living even there, let alone here. I mean, how do we deal with that the competition to the bottom for the low wages?
Even in countries where the wages are lower, you actually see their middle middle class is growing. You see more stress for wages to increase, and then you have the cost of transporting those goods. So as energy transportation costs increase, it may make more sense to bring those companies back here. And again, look at the revenue that's overseas. Are our policies of our government, are they friendly to having that revenue brought back into the United States? We have the highest corporate income tax rate in the world. Canada lowered its corporate income tax rate. We could do the same thing to help bring manufacturing back to this country and to grow a manufacturing base, which could employ a larger percentage of our population.
Any last words that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I'd just like to thank you for being willing to interview us today, and I would tell people to follow us on Twitter, like us on our Facebook page, and go to MillerMeeks.com, which is our website, and get involved. Get involved in your government. If you want to have a voice, you have to be involved.
Thanks to Dr. Marionette Miller-Meeks for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.